ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we are reading from the 5th canto, 17th chapter, 16th verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. But first, because this doesn't have meter, we won't chant it. We just read it through. And I will also read the 15th verse first, because yesterday we lectured on the 14th. We will lecture on the 16th, but the 15th has no purport. But since it comes before the 16th, we will read it first, because each verse leads to the next. It's a natural progression. So the 15th verse, Ilavarte tu Bhagavan Bhava Eka Eva Pumam Na Hi Anyas Tachaparo Nirvishati Bhavayanaha Sapa Nirmita Gino Yat Pravekshanata Stri Bhavas Tat Pasyad Vyakshami. Ilavarte tu Bhagavan Bhava Eka Eva Pumam Nahi Anastar Chaparo Nirvishati Bhavayanaha Sapa Nirmita Gano Yad Pravekshan Nata Stri Bhavanastat Paschad Vyakshami. The word for word Ilavrite, in the tract of land known as Ilavrita Varsha. To, but, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Bhavana, Lord Shiva, Eka only, Eva, certainly, Pumam, male person, Na, not, he, certainly, Anya, any other, Tatra, there, Aparaha, besides, Nirvishati, enters, Bhavayana, Sapta, Nimita, Gyana, who knows the cause of the curse of Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva. Yad Pravekshataha, one who forcibly enters that tract of land. Stri Bhavana, transformation into a female. Tat that. Paschat, later. Vyakshami, I shall explain. Translation. Sukadev Goswami said, in the tract of land known as Ilavrita Varsha, the only male person is Lord Shiva, the most powerful demigod. Goddess Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva, does not like any man to enter that land. If any foolish man dares to do so, he immediately turns into a woman. I shall explain this later in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that will be dealt with later. And today's verse, text 16, Bhavani, Natahai, Stri, Ganarbuddha, Sahasher, Avarud, Yamano, Bhagavatas, Chatur Murtir, Mahapurushaya, Turiyam, Tamashim, Murtim, Prakritim, Atmana, Sankarsana, Samgyanam Atma Samadhi Rupena Sanityapyaitad Abhikrinam Bhava Upadavyati. Bhavani Naita Stri Gandharva Sahasher Avavrudyamano Bhagavatas Chatur Murtir Maha Purushaya Turiyam Tamashim Mutim Prakritim Atmana Sankarshan Samkinam Atma Samadhi Rupena Sanaitayatayatad Abhigranan Bhava Upadyavati. Word for word, Bhavani Natai, by the company of Bhavani, Stri Gana, of females, Abuddha Shashray, by 10 billion, avarujamana, always being served. Bhagavata Chaturmurti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is expanded into four. Mahapurushaya, of the Supreme Person. Turiyam, the fourth expansion, Tamashim, related to the mode of ignorance. Murtim, the form. Pakritim, as the source. Atmana, of himself, Lord Shiva. Sankarshan Samkhyanam, known as Sankarshan. Atmasamadhi Rupena, by meditating upon him in trance. Sannidhapadya, bringing him near. Etat, this. Abhigranam, clearly chanting. Bhavaha, Lord Shiva. Upadavyati, worships. The translation. In Ilavrita Varsha, Lord Shiva is encircled by 10 billion maidservants of Goddess Durga, who minister to him. The quadruple expansions of the Supreme Lord is composed of Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan. Sankarshan, the fourth expansion, is certainly transcendental, but because his activities of destruction in the material world are in the mode of ignorance, he is known as Tamasi, the Lord's form in the mode of ignorance. Lord Shiva knows that Sankarshan is the original cause of his own existence, and thus he meditates upon him in trance by chanting the following mantra. Of course, that will come tomorrow. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes we see a picture of Lord Shiva engaged in meditation. This verse explains that Lord Shiva is always meditating upon Lord Sankarshan in trance. Lord Shiva is in charge of the destruction of the material world. Lord Brahma creates the material world. Lord Vishnu maintains it, and Lord Shiva destroys it. Because destruction is in the mode of ignorance, Lord Shiva and his worshipable deity, Sankarshan, are technically called Tamasi. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of Tamagun. Since both Lord Shiva and Sankarshan are always enlightened and situated in the transcendental position, they have nothing to do with the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But because their activities involves them with the mode of ignorance, they are sometimes called Tamasi. Tamasi. I guess I should chant that before being Tamasi, that Om Agyana Timaranya Sahagina Agyana Salakaya Chaksuran Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I was born in the darkness of ignorance. I'm probably not the only one, right? Who was born enlightened? Raise your hands if you were born Krishna conscious. Okay. So I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but I asked the spiritual master to bring the torchlight of knowledge so that I can see some knowledge to explain this verse. I think if we gave a title to this verse and the explanation, it would be, whoever you are, big or small, and whatever you have to do, the solution should be to meditate upon Krishna, to perform this action. We see here that in one sense, Lord Shiva is taking care of the activities in the mode of ignorance. We find that just like in this material world, people are given different duties. Some duties are more in the mode of goodness. Some are more in the mode of passion. And some are in, appear to be tamagun. So, is the solution to just, out of frustration, give up these activities because they're in tamagun, or because they're in rajagun? Or do we think because I'm in sattvagun, I don't need the spiritual help? Whatever mode we are in, we have to meditate upon Krishna. We have to be connected to the powerhouse to do our duty. Just like this is a microphone. If I do not know anything about the microphone, or I'm an advanced electrician, what do I do to make it work? What it has to do to make this work? It has to be connected, right? Even if I'm an advanced electrician and it's not connected, will it work? It won't work. And if I know nothing, but somehow or other I'm plugged in, it works, doesn't it? So that's why we find, even if someone has to deal with the mode of ignorance, as Prabhupada says, a sincere weeper in the street is better than the charlatan meditator. If someone has to deal with the activities of the mode of ignorance, and he doesn't know much, but he's plugged in, then he is connected to Krishna. If someone else thinks that I am so great that I don't have to take shelter of Krishna, then he will be confused. We find that sometimes it's the middle things that we have difficulty taking shelter. We forget that sometimes big things go on. The sun is what, 93 million miles away, about 160 million kilometers from the earth. Let's say it moved to 140 million kilometers or to 200. Would that change things? It would, wouldn't it? No, if the sun moved closer or farther away, just by a little, we see that just a little bit of change, and Krishna is taking care of that. But somehow we think, oh, he can't take care of the things in my life. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm so important, I don't need Krishna. Other times we think, oh, I'm so fallen, even Krishna can't help me. My one friend in Laguna Beach says, I may not be much, but I'm all I think about. So if we're going to meditate, usually people meditate on themselves. How great they are, how bad they are. But it doesn't really matter if we're there to perform the service. This is the point that Lord Shiva is making. Lord Shiva has about 86% of the qualities of Krishna. And yet he is still meditating on Krishna to perform this service. He doesn't think, I am so great that I should not perform this service. We see that being here with Prabhupada in Mumbai, he got on the ground, he shows the devotees, let me show you how to clean the floor, and shows how to clean the floor. At the same time, he would be lecturing on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he would speak to dignitaries, he would speak to the different birlas about starting a temple. At this time, the temple was in the Akash Ganga building on Warden Road. And then he would go to other people's houses. And this kind of connects to Lord Shiva. We see that sometimes devotees either want to insult Lord Shiva because he's not Krishna. And other times they think, oh, well, Shiva must be God. But he's not exactly either one. To explain, like a milk is turned to yogurt. It's not exactly milk, but it's not milk either. These things may be difficult to understand. How does Krishna do this? It is like the one woman asked me in Johannesburg, South Africa. She said, well, I read that Krishna moves them in from... They went to bed at night in Mathura, and then Krishna moved them to Dwarka in the middle of the night. Can you explain how Krishna does this? She said. I said, no. Can any of you explain this? They even asked Albert Einstein, can you explain this theory of relativity? He says, yes, but not to you. Because you have to have an advanced degree in science to even understand how these things work. So sure, there's a science of how Krishna does this. But even with smaller sciences, the relativity is that matter and energy are interchangeable, meaning that things like how the cell phone works. But of course, we look at the premise. People have the premise where we tell them about Krishna. They say, well, if I can't see it, it doesn't exist. Let's say that premise is true. If that premise is true, does anybody have a cell phone? Who has a cell phone? The waves come from somewhere into that cell phone, right? Yes? Can you see those waves? So if the premise that if I can't see it, it doesn't exist, if that were true, the cell phone couldn't work. Because you can't see those waves, but do they exist? You can't see the electricity that's in the wall, right? But if you stick a fork in the wall, will you find out that electricity exists? Don't try that. In his childhood, Prabhupada tried that. But when we follow the spiritual master, you don't have to follow that one. But it's true, you don't see it, but it does exist. Just like a television. If you explained 100 years ago about the cell phone and the television, that these things exist, people would say, oh no, I can't see this. It doesn't exist. So people don't think things can exist outside their realm of possibility. I even came to Vrindavan in the early 70s. And I told the young boys there that in America we have a road called a freeway. And on this freeway we drive 100 kilometers an hour. They don't allow any cows, any bicycles. So the one person called for his friend. He said, hey, listen to the story this American has made up. And he said, tell them the story you made up about this road they can drive so fast. And tell them the story you made up about how they don't allow bicycles and cows. I said, no, it's true. They said, come on. No road could be possible. This was before they had the television in India. They only had the movies. They kept telling me, come on, admit that you made it up. They were so convinced that it didn't exist. I almost believed it didn't exist myself. But I remember, wait a minute, we do have a road like that. So if people don't see it, they think it doesn't exist. They didn't know America existed. Columbus thought he was going to India. So he landed in America. And if he thought it was India, and he found some people, what would you call those people? Indians, right? So today, they still call many of them Indians. But if Columbus thought he was going to America and landed here, we would be calling all of you Native Americans. But it doesn't make you Native Americans, and it doesn't make them Indians. So reality is not subject to our conception. But people are so convinced of their conception that they think it must be real. If I can't see it, it doesn't exist. But it isn't true. So, back to Lord Shiva and Indian movies. One time, you see, Prabhupada would get on his hands and knees to do the floor, which seems to be in the Tamagun. But if we are doing it for Krishna, we are happy to do it. It is more important to do the menial service for Krishna than to think, I don't have devotion, but I know each ritual perfectly. Prabhupada would do this devotion. He would honor the people who just did the simple tasks for Krishna. But also Prabhupada would, of course, translate the Srimad Bhagavatam. When I would wake up early in the morning to do the artik for Radharas Bihari, I would hear Prabhupada translating the seventh canto in the next room. And when I would offer the artik to Radharas Bihari, when flower was done, Prabhupada was there. I would hand the flower directly to Srila Prabhupada. And I would go in the room at noontime, and I would take the big Sanskrit Bhagavatam and put it on the shelf and clear Prabhupada's desk and bring Prabhupada his prasadam. Then I would go out and serve. This was 1971. I would serve all the other devotees their prasadam. Then I would come back into Prabhupada's room, take his plate away, clear the plate, wash the plate, and since everyone was gone, that's what I would eat for my lunch for about 2 months in a row, was Prabhupada's remnants. And when I would go to bed at night, Prabhupada was still translating. So one day we had a program at J. Om Prakash's house, the biggest movie producer in India. And we went to his house. and there's a big murti of Lord Shiva. And Prabhupada comes in, he says, Hare Krishna, Lord Shiva. Because we know that we are worshipping Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, we honor Lord Shiva. Because even though he performs these activities in Tamagun, he's a very great person, which we will get around to in a minute here. So Prabhupada came in and he gave a talk. And after that, Dr. Bali, who was the husband of Vijayanti Mala, gave a talk to all of the Indian movie stars and said, you make so much money in movies, you should give some to Krishna consciousness. And that night, people like Devanand and Rajesh Khanna and the Kapoor brothers, they all became life members. And I know many of these have starred in many movies. I know J. Om Prakash produced that movie, Hati Marasati. And I used to see the signs. There was Johnny Maranam, and there was Ek Nari, Ek Brahmachari. The woman is beating the man. But I didn't see any of these movies because J. Om Prakash was the biggest movie producer. So he is the authority, right? He says, I will tell you the truth. Indian movies are corny. Means like silly. He says, because I will be there with Shyamakirishi, say, as my enemy. And I said, okay, I will kill you. He says, no, I will kill you first. And then he says, but let's have a dance first. And they break out into a dance. Is it true? I think after him saying that, I thought, well, maybe I don't need to see the movies. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't know. But it was more for the value of entertainment. But what I want to see is this television show, special one. Like Prabhupada explains that Dhritarashtra is asking Sanjaya about the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And he can see these pastimes in his heart. So, in these pastimes, when there's a dance, it is the rasa dance. Where there's the dancing in Vaikuntha. And they don't have any commercials. And we get to see the pastimes of Krishna and we get to participate. So we think about this. Here is Lord Shiva. He is being served by 10 billion. You know how many 10 billion is? Well, let's see. Yesterday here there was maybe 10, 20,000 people. If there was 20,000 people, that means, if there was 10,000 people, that means it is a million times as many. If there was 20,000 people here yesterday, that means it is 500,000 times as many. India has 1.25 billion people, so that means he has 8 times as many maidservants as all the people in India. Or more than the whole earth has about 7 billion, so it's about 3 billion more, or about a third more than all the people in the world are the maidservants of Shiva. Shiva's so great, he doesn't need anyone else, does he? Well, he's pretty great. But we have a hard time understanding what greatness is. Just like how fast is. They thought 100 kilometers per hour is too fast to go. We'll get to that in a minute. But we see with Lord Shiva, what does it say here? How does it come to Lord Shiva? Well, first, where do all the expansions come from? First, Krishna expands. He's the Swayam Rupa. Then there is the Swayam Prakash, Balaram. And then Balaram expands into what is being talked. First into Vasudev. So we have Krishna. Second is Balaram. Third is Vasudev. Fourth is Pradyumna. Fifth is Aniruddha. And sixth is Sankarshan. Right? Six away. And from Sankarshan comes Lord Shiva. The quadruple expansion. And Lord Shiva is meditating on the Sankarshan. So this is the obvious thing. It's like if you go into a company and you see somebody important. Say you go to the government here and you're talking to the finance minister or the minister of defense. And he says, well, I have to consult with the prime minister. Well, you know there must be somebody more important. So even though Lord Shiva is so important, he has 10 billion maidservants we think there couldn't be more than this. Whenever we think there couldn't be more, there must be more. We only think in terms of what we see. Think it can't be that far away. Or we think, well, how does Krishna move them there? So Lord Shiva is meditating on Sankarshan and on Krishna's pastimes. Even he's this great, he's meditating on Krishna's pastimes. So if he's that great, who should we meditate upon? Ourselves? Like my friend says, I may not be much, I'm all I think about. Oh, I'm so great. Oh, I'm so bad. Oh, I'm so this. But what about just meditating on Krishna? Just like the postman comes. He may not be qualified to bring you a bill that you owe 1 crore of rupees. He may not be qualified to bring you the check for 1 crore, but he is just the messenger. So we are the same. We get our power from Krishna. When Lord Rama was building the bridge to Lanka, Hanuman is moving the big boulders. And the squirrel is kicking the dust in the water, and Hanuman says, move! The squirrel says, but I'm trying to help also. Lord Rama says, Hanuman, what are you doing? He says, I am trying to build this bridge, and the squirrel is kicking the sand. Lord Rama says, Hanuman, where do you get your strength? He says, I get it from you, Lord Rama. He says, where does the squirrel get his strength? Also from you. He says, then you are both serving to your capacity. So we don't think we are greater. We just try to be helpful. So we find in this same capacity here. It is difficult for us to conceive of how big these material and spiritual worlds are. I was reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita the size, Prabhupada says, of one Vaikuntha planet. It comes out to about 1.4 maybe septillion kilometers all the way across one Vaikuntha planet. Now, of course, maybe this is to give us some calculation, but let's see how far that is. You know how far that is? If we take the speed of light travels at 300,000 kilometers per second. That's all the way around the Earth, 7 times in 1 second. So what does that come out to in a day? 300,000 times 86,000. What does this come to? You multiply that by a year, you come out to over 9 trillion kilometers in a year. 300,000 kilometers per second, over 9 trillion kilometers in a year. You'd have to travel at this speed for about 1.4 billion years to go across the Vaikuntha planet. That's bigger than we can conceive, but it's there. So just because we can't conceive of it doesn't mean it's not there. They used to think that vehicles couldn't travel faster than the speed of sound, which is about 1,250 kilometers per hour. But the speed of light is 300,000 kilometers a second. That's about 1.8 billion kilometers per hour. And I explained to this woman that that Krishna was, just like we read the story, that the Brahman was meditating on doing the service, and then he touched the sweet rice in his mind and he burned his finger. And in Vaikuntha, far, far away, Lord Vishnu is laughing. And Rukmini says, what are you laughing? He says, well, I will show you in a second. So he brought the Brahman there in a spiritual airplane, just like that. The speed of light is faster than the speed of sound. One of them is 1,250 kilometers per hour. The other is 10,800,000,000 kilometers per hour. So is it possible that there are things that are faster? They used to say that it wasn't possible to travel faster than 1,250 kilometers per hour. But it is. So can you explain how Krishna does this? No, we can't, but it doesn't mean he doesn't do it. Because there are certain laws, we are subject to these laws. Like we are subject to the law of contradiction. If I'm a man, I can't be a woman. If I'm inside, I can't be outside. If I'm in India, I can't be in America. If I travel at this speed, it takes me so long to get there. If I'm traveling at 100 kilometers an hour and I'm going 1,000 kilometers, it takes me 10 hours. But Krishna is not subject to the laws of time and space. Krishna is not subject to the laws of contradiction. Krishna can change them just like that. So we find that Lord Shiva is so great, he is meditating upon Krishna's activities. What is the benefit of this? We have to keep this in mind. Not think of, oh, I know the rituals or what average Hinduism is. What is Hinduism? Well, Hindu means someone who lives by the Indus River. Right? Is that what it means? Where is the Indus River? It's in Pakistan, right? So if someone's a Hindu, that must mean someone who lives in Pakistan? Is that what it means? Well, it can mean different things to different people. What is an Indian? Oh, some people think that is the native tribe in America. Some people think it's people who live here, right? So it all depends what you think, right? What is an Indian? The Indian is the name of certain football teams. The team at Stanford University are the Indians. So all of them could be Indians, right? Which one's an Indian? The Stanford Indians? The American Indians? So we use the term Hindu. Well, what does it mean? So we have to understand what it means, not just the terminology. This is why Krishna explains this Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains then, meditating on Krishna. Why is this so great? Because Krishna says in the 8th verse of the 4th chapter, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yovati takvataha takvadeha punarjama naitimam eti so Arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take birth again in a material world. But he attains to my supreme abode, O Arjuna. Does that sound pretty good? Of all the things you can do, you don't have to take birth in this material world. You return to Krishna's abode. How? By understanding the nature of Krishna's pastimes and activities. No wonder Lord Shiva is meditating on this. He is so great with 10 billion maidservants, but still, instead of thinking, well, I'll let my maidservants serve me, right? You know, we think we're so great. We think we're humble. I say, I'm just a humble servant. But you're the servant of the servant, so you have to serve me, right? It is so easy to become puffed up. Like the one person said, he said, it's easy for me to be humble. I just give the other devotees the credit for making me into the truly great Vaishnava that I am. But this isn't the idea. Whether we are the squirrel, whether we are Hanuman, or whether we are Lord Shiva, who should we meditate on? Krishna. Because it doesn't matter how great or how bad we think we are. It doesn't matter how great or how bad we really are. It just matters, can I meditate on Krishna? Can I know the transcendental nature of his activities? We see this is what Srila Prabhupada was doing. He would do the simplest activities, and yet he would go and speak to the biggest dignitaries. Because no matter how small the task is, if we are doing it for Krishna, it is a very great thing. Whether it is a task in ignorance, if we're supposed to do that for Krishna, that is the best thing possible. And if it is some great big task, but it is not performed for Krishna, Krishna doesn't need us. We can't think, all right, Krishna, I will come back to the spiritual world, but I will serve in an advisory capacity. Does Krishna need our advice there? Does he have it pretty well figured out? I think he has it pretty well figured out. So we can't think, no matter how small we are, that we can't participate in Krishna's pastimes. Or no matter how great we are, we still have to meditate on Krishna. Imagine how great this really is. Here is Lord Shiva with 86% capacity, meditating on the Vishnu form. In the Vishnu form, he has 60 out of 64 qualities. That's about, what, 93.75%? So even in the Vishnu form, there are certain qualities that are missing that are there in the pastimes of Krishna. We think about how special these qualities are to meditate upon, and how, like Krishna says, that usually he comes in a Vishnu form. And originally he imparted this knowledge to Vivishwan. He comes in the 28th cycle of yugas. And each cycle is about 4,327,000 years. So if you add that up, the 28th cycle, 28 times 4,320,000, comes out to a little over 420 million years ago. And Krishna remembers, he says, speaking this to the sun god Vivishwan 120 million years ago. But he says, the science as it is appears to be lost, and therefore I am speaking this to you today. So it is important for us to keep this science intact, not just to know the Hindu rituals. We can do Hindu rituals in service for Krishna, but the important thing is to understand the point of it. Because beyond even Lord Vishnu, Krishna's pastimes have four extra special sweet qualities. You may know some of these. That Krishna, Krishna has the prema madhurya, that he has the most sweet quality of love. And this goes along with the Leela Madhuri, because in the Leela he has the super special pastimes that in the form of Vishnu you only get to neutrality and servitude. But in the form of Krishna you can be a friend or a parent or a lover of Krishna. So he has this special Leela Madhuri which facilitates this highest kind of Prema Madhuri. That you can have the sweetness of love that doesn't have to have the awe and reverence in it. Beyond that, Krishna has the Rupa Madhuri, that the other forms of God are so very beautiful, but in the form of Krishna, he has even the sweetest beauty that is beyond anything else. Even when Krishna sees his own reflection, he thinks, who is that beautiful person? And the others see Krishna. Every time they see him, it is as if they've never seen him before. And then we have the fourth one. Who knows what the fourth one is? The Venu Madhuri. It's an instrument, the flute. We like the sound of instruments. But if the sound of this flute must be pretty special. Why is this special? How do we know it's special? Krishna plays this flute and the cows come to him in the morning. The gopis wait to hear it for Krishna returning from the field, playing the sound of this flute. This sound of this flute and this special Prema Madhuri is so special that in Vrindavan, Radharani and the residents of Vrindavan are feeling union with Krishna. Krishna leaves and they are feeling separation. Then a special occasion happens that in Kurukshetra, on the occasion of the solar eclipse, the residents of Vrindavan go to meet the residents of Dwarka at Kurukshetra. And Radharani sees Krishna there, but he's on the chariot. And it's the same Krishna, but she feels the union, but she also feels separation because Krishna is in a different mood. And this is why Rupa Goswami writes the verse where Radharani says, she says, my dear friend, I've met my old and dear friend Krishna on the field of Kurukshetra. She says, I am the same Radharani and it is very wonderful. She says, but I still wish to be within the forest of Vrindavan and by the bank of the Yamuna River, hearing Krishna play the transcendental fifth note on his flute. Within that forest of Vrindavan. So the sound of this flute is so special that even though Radharani is there with Krishna in Dwarka. She wants to be by the bank of the Yamuna River, hearing that sweet sound of that flute. So when we hear that Krishna says, I am the sound in ether and the ability in man, that when people play an instrument and it sounds very, very good, Krishna says that he creates all these qualities with a fragment of his potency. Imagine how great it would be to meditate on the sound of that flute that Krishna is playing. That's why these things are so great, that even someone like Lord Shiva, who has 10 billion maidservants, his primary activity is to meditate on the Nama, Guna, Rupa and Leela, the name, form, quality and pastimes of Krishna, and to think about Krishna's appearance and activities. Because of all the great things and all the great people and all the great activities, there is nothing greater than God in the form of Krishna and the sweet transcendental pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. So let us spend our time meditating on these names, these qualities, and these pastimes. Any questions or comments about this? Yes? Who can explain how Krishna moves the transcendental airplane from here to Vaikuntha? Can someone explain this? Yes, but not any of us, right?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, wonderfully you explained about Krishna's pastimes, how much is important. No. Prabhuji, the thing is, how if somebody is inclined to worship Jagannath, so his destination is Vaikuntha Loka, or because Jagannath is a Shyam Sundar, so his destination is...
Okay, just what we were discussing. You know that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati once said that Vrindavan is for shallow people. He says, we are the servants of Radharani. If we really want to serve Radharani, we will go to where Radharani needs us the most. That is in Kurukshetra. Because as we said, in Vrindavan, she is feeling the union with Krishna. When he's gone, she feels separation. But when she gets to Kurukshetra, she feels union, but because the mood is different, she feels separation also. They are there in the chariots, Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra. So we have a fest. Radharani wants to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. So the highest service we can do is to help take Krishna back to Vrindavan. We have a festival that commemorates this. Do you know the name of this festival? Rath Yatra. We perform this, yes? Since the idea to serve Radharani is to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan, they tried to criticize us in Jagannath Puri. They say that this celebration of bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan should only be celebrated one day a year. Would you like to tell Radharani this? I'm sorry, Radharani, but you want to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan, but we only celebrate this one day a year, so you're going to have to wait. Is that a good thing, to make Radharani wait? Is it better to do the service right away? So is it better to have more Rath Yatras than one, right? So do we listen to the ideas they give us? No, we will hold the Rath Yatra anyway. Because we have to know what the supreme truth is. This is something we are lecturing on in Kenya. Because in Kenya, they are having elections today. And they asked us to pray that they would have a peaceful election. And what's good is we got to participate in some interfaith dialogue. Because many of the problems we have in these countries is that sometimes Christian churches will say, like in South Africa, they say, don't go in that temple because there's a big snake in that moat that will eat you. But of course the people don't worry that murders there are more than anywhere in the world, that people drive taxis dangerously, I even ask them there, have you seen the taxis that drive safely? And they say, no. They even drive more dangerous than here. The murder rate is high. The AIDS rate is higher than anywhere else in the world. They sell some drug to the children called sugars. It sounds okay, but sugars is a combination of the amphetamine, which speeds you up, the heroin, which slows you down and makes you sick when you first take it, until you're addicted, and then you get sick when you don't take it. And they also mix rat poison, because the rat poison has strychnine, which makes you hallucinate. So it seems like they should be alerting people to the dangers of this drug, the AIDS, the taxis, and the murders. Not a snake that doesn't exist. And in Kenya, the churches say, oh, those Indians perform black magic. Do Indians know what black magic is? So they don't even know what it is, right? But you make up a rumor about people and they don't know. So the best thing is that the things they don't like us for don't actually exist. So when we get out and we meet the other people and we tell them, we can have peace by remembering that God is the supreme controller, the supreme enjoyer, and the supreme friend. And before we speak, which applies to other people, we apply the principles that Krishna tells us about the austerity of speech. First, it has to be truthful. Then it has to be beneficial. Then it has to be pleasing. And it has to be palatable. And of course, it has to be based on scriptural instruction. Because if I don't have anything in there to say, it makes no difference. So some of the African dignitaries said, that was so nice what you said about the austerity of speech. He said, it's too bad many other people didn't read this. Because the problem with Bhagavad Gita is the people who haven't read the Bhagavad Gita don't know what happens to the people who didn't read it, right? There are many warnings that tells you in Bhagavad Gita what to avoid. But if you didn't read it, it won't do you any good. This is why we distribute Bhagavad Gita, so that they can find these things out. And he said a lot of people should have read that. You find this with people when they come off with philosophies or they criticize other devotees. Does it fit these parameters? Is it truthful? Is it beneficial? Is it pleasing? Is it palatable? Right? That's why Prabhupada said when we're talking, we go in like a needle, out like a plow. We talk something that's beneficial and go from there. So any other question about any of these subject matters? Yes. We just rely on Prabhupada and Krishna to help us, because they can help us. I know when I was alone in South Africa, what happened there is I went with one other devotee, and one day he was gone. And I found a note. It said, Dear Shudi decided to split. Now we're 5 kilometers from any neighbors and 5,000 kilometers from any devotees, and he left me alone and took all the money. And I thought, I looked for the other page, this is all I got. I thought, Rupa Goswami says we reveal our mind, but it means more than just decided to leave. So I was there all alone. I'm in a country where the thieves were trying to kill me, the government was trying to kill me. I'm only 19 years old. I'm very unqualified. Some people liked me and some people didn't. The ones that didn't had all the guns, the thieves and the government. And so I wrote to Prabhupada that I'd been left alone, and he took the money, and I thought, and I had to order more incense sticks, and I ordered more books, even though I'm in debt. And I thought, maybe I'm in trouble. But a letter came back very quick from Prabhupada here in Mumbai. I found out later why it came back quickly. The Chaimashundra said he used to open all the letters. And then he says, oh Prabhupada, I opened one from Shudi Das. And he said that Rishi Kumar Swami left him alone in South Africa without telling him and took the money away. Prabhupada said, oh, we will immediately dictate a letter, then you immediately type it and immediately take it to the post office. So it came back very quickly. And I thought, maybe I'm in trouble. But I was happy when I opened the letter, because I tore it open and I saw the first line said, I'm very much pleased at the responsibility you've taken to spread Krishna consciousness in South Africa at such a young age. And Prabhupada said, somehow or other you are left alone, just like Narada Muni, and Narada Muni became a great devotee. And he said, I am praying to Krishna that you will have the strength and enthusiasm to carry out this mission. So even though all odds were against me, and eventually Prabhupada took so much time to help me out, he asked Duradarshan to come. And Duradarshan means hard to see or hard to find, so of course he went away, right? And he'd asked Brahmananda to come help me, and Brahmananda was writing letters. I'm leaving Nairobi, now I'm in Mombasa, now I'm in Kisumu, now I'm in... And then at the border, they wouldn't let him in. But Prabhupada asked him to come, and he just got in the vehicle and drove. He didn't think, well, that's so far away. Prabhupada asked him, I need the help. He did it, right? He said, I'll be right there. It's 5,000 kilometers through dangerous Africa. But because Prabhupada asked him, and I need the help, he did it. Then Prabhupada had asked Pushta Krishna to come. So when the government finally caught me on the Friday, this was 9 months after I'd been there, 6 months alone, they asked where my visa was. I said, oh, it must be with the things coming on Monday. So then I called Pushta Krishna and said, I only have 3 days and they're going to throw me out. You have to get here tomorrow. So he showed up the next day. And when I went in, the government said, we're throwing you out of this country because we don't like your philosophy that we're not black, white, or Indian, because we oppress the Indians and the black people here. I said, that's okay. You're throwing me out today, but someday you'll be gone and I'll get to come back. And I just came back from there. That government's gone, and I got to come back. So it shows us that just like in Mumbai or other tasks, the task may be much bigger than us, the people against us may be much bigger than we are, but if Prabhupada is praying to Krishna, we will have the strength to carry it out. No matter how unqualified we are, the mission can become successful. Thank you all. Tomorrow, Shyamaka Rishi will be saying what this verse says. I won't reveal it, but some of you may read ahead, and he will be discussing what this verse is tomorrow that Lord Shiva is reciting. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.